The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and
T-Mac. This is going to be like, this is going to tell me everything I need to know.
All right, incomplete. What does that tell you?
Looking at 6-11. 6-11 right now.
Riddell makes precision fit helmets now. They fit your head specifically. Yes, for big heads. All right, it's the new thing.
You need some more powder on that forehead. You look like you sprayed Pam all over it.
Okay, here we go. Now it starts, Ray.
Well, that's what we were going to lead off with and talk about the game and all that. That's for sure. And we'll get there. In fact, in 3:15, we'll have huge news about Pedal with Columbus.
Yes, yes.
Tyler's actually dressed up in his Pedal with Columbus gear from last year, but we have a huge announcement there. But we start today, and we'll get to Peyton and the Eli show, which was highly entertaining. We start today with the news of quite a few roster shakeups with the Broncos. So Ronald Darby apparently maybe on the last play of the game got involved in a play, and unbeknownst to anybody else, he pulled his hamstring to the degree, Tyler, he's been put on IR. How about that?
Okay. Well, IR is not as significant as it once was, so IR is a little bit misleading. But, yeah, you're right. He has been put on the IR, at least in the temporary, for the next few weeks.
Well, you're out for 3 weeks.
Right, right. So you're out for three weeks, which is different. This year, you can bring back as many people as you want off of the IR, but you do have to be out for 3 weeks.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess there goes your dilemma. You've been concerned about how we're getting Patrick Surtain on the field.
Not anymore.
He's on the field. He will officially be a starter. What role will be interesting? Will they decide to bounce Bryce Callahan outside, put Surtain in the slot as the nickel guy, or will they just put Surtain outside? That's what I would do. I would just put him outside, just make him the number two corner. That's where you're going to be eventually. So just go take over your seat. You know, Darby was keeping it warm for you. This is your opportunity, and this is the way these things work, by the way. Once Darby opens up the door, it's not his fault. He got hurt. Football's a brutal sport, though. You open up the door, you might not ever get that spot back. As highly paid as Darby is as a free agent this year, he might not ever get the starting spot back from Patrick Surtain.
The corresponding move is the dominoes fall, is that Nate Hairston has been promoted to the active roster. And that's not all. As expected. Unfortunately, but we did expect this. Jerry Jeudy has also been put on the IR. And so you wonder, well, who are they going to bring up? Who is going to join the 53? And that is quarterback Hall of Famer Kendall Hinton.
Right. Yes. Important that he is, he's listed as a quarterback, right? Yeah. Good for him, man. I mean, that's good. I doubt that Kendall Hinton will even be playing in the game, but, I'm glad that he's on the 53, man. The dude has earned a lot around here.
It comes with a couple surprises, though, because he leapfrogs Seth Williams and Tyree Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, the Seth Williams one is the real big surprise. Tyree Cleveland has been an interesting project, but it's a little bit further removed. Seth Williams is the new project. That's the brand new guy. You drafted him this year, didn't make the roster, which, you know, when you get drafted in the 6th, 7th round, there's certainly no guarantee that you're going to make the roster, but they draft you, because they want you to, and then they put him on the practice squad. Clearly, they're just not high on Seth Williams. It'll tell you that much. That's for sure. All right, man. I mean, Tim Patrick, welcome back, buddy. You never went away. You're always going to be a part of things. But it feels like every year Tim Patrick starts out the season in a little bit of a reserve role, mm-hmm. not expecting much out of him. And then, lo and behold, he ends up being one of the featured players on this team. So, Tim Patrick, step on up, buddy. Do your deal. You always do. I'm sure you will again.
Okay. Rejusterman Ferris has been re-signed to the practice squad. You may remember him. He got off the bus at training camp and made an instant interception. In fact, he had a couple of interceptions during training camp. And I mean, for a guy who was barely here, he actually flashed a couple times. And he is back, at least on the practice squad. So, there you go. Some roster moves. I want to address another thing that I was just hearing the Zoakley show featuring upbeat, optimistic Jimmy Marilat come up with. Urban Meyer. checking around with some inside sources, the decision of Urban Meyer to not speak to the Denver media is highly unusual, but it doesn't break any rules, as the NFL has changed their media rules for head coaches that you only have to speak 3 days a week, and that is different.
Mm.
However, the Broncos don't care about that. The Broncos put Vic out 5 days a week because they think it's in the best interest of talking about the Broncos and how to represent themselves. But Urban Meyer has decided, apparently, to just, well, whatever. I don't have to do it, so I'm not going to do it. But, Tyler, that is absolutely going to keep the story alive this week. That perhaps he's headed for USC.
I saw those rumors for sure. I mean, the second that job became open, you all looked at it and you're like, it just makes too much sense.
Well, that's the job he wanted, wasn't it?
I don't know. Did he ever want it? I have no idea.
I think he did. And is Mike Bone? He's the athletic director at USC, right?
Yeah, which is crazy, by the way, that he went from CU there, ends up there. Okay, so let's see. It'll be fascinating to see if Urban Meyer, I doubt he would leave after 1 year. I've seen the rumors. I saw Michael Lombardi put a tweet out there saying that he is seriously considering it. Okay, I get it, man. I mean, you come into the NFL and all of a sudden it's a bit of a culture shock for you as a head coach. You don't get to treat things the same way that you used to. The not talking to the media deal, is that unusual? I don't know. I'll take you a try.
Highly unusual.
I guess if I were a head coach, I would talk to the media as little as I possibly had to. I mean, why in the world would I spend more time with the media than I had to? I'm actually shocked that more guys don't do what Urban Meyer's doing.
Well, the way it was explained to me, at least the philosophy with the Broncos, is that's how you best represent yourself to your fan base and other places, and you set the tone as to what kind of organization you are. And by putting the guy in charge, the head dude out there, and, you know, because players do these conference calls as well, it's an honor to be asked to, you know, do a conference call for the media outside of town. You're the voice, the face of the team that particular week. That's how the Broncos view it. So
yeah, I get that. And the Broncos, I mean, shoot, we know that Patrick's always done a fantastic job of controlling messages and getting out the best possible side of the Broncos that you possibly can. And that's smart. He does a really good job with it. Whenever there's problems, whenever somebody messes up, he gets people up on the podium and he has people talk about it like the day of, like as soon as you possibly can. So I totally get that. I think it's smart from their point of view. I'm just telling you selfishly from a football coach's point of view, if I were running an NFL franchise, I would do the bare minimum that I was required, especially if it's out of market. It's one thing if it's in market. I get that. Yeah, you definitely want to be available and you want to create a good picture for your fan base. But out of market, forget that, man. I'm not doing anything more than I have to.
I got to admit, I've been doing these out-of-town pressers with coaches for 14 years. I do not recall a head coach not doing a call.
Is that right? Yeah. I totally take you at your word.
I mean, yeah. I'm not saying it's never happened. I'd have to rack my brain for the past 14 years, I guess. I just cannot remember. That's why, for example, I've... You know, lucky. Been around Bill Belichick pressers more than any other opposing coach because the Broncos seem to always play him and he's, you know, sadly always in the Super Bowl. And, you know, after a while, you're like, wow, Bill Belichick again. Bill Belichick, I never, I bet this is 100%, never in 14 years has Bill Belichick, at least in my experience, ever passed on this particular instance. And when you think of coaches who seem to hate talking to the media, nobody stands out more than Bill Belichick. But, hey, whatever. I just think it's another sign that things are coming quickly at Urban Meyer and it's not college football anymore.
Hey, well, let's hope this week comes at him quickly.
That's all I'm concerned with.
Like, look, I hope that these are all distractions. I hope you're dealing with USC. I hope that you're worried about your media appearances. Good. Great. Look, man, I hope you're miserable. Good. Let's just go get another win. I don't care if the team is banged up. I don't care if the coach is distracted. I just want to get another win. And dang, would it feel good to be 2-0. And, you know, we'll get into the thick of all the film study tomorrow. I'll give you guys my breakdown offensively, defensively. Not quite into the thick of things yet, but I know this much. This is a game that you can win, for sure. And it's a game that I expect the Broncos to win. Go in there, handle your business, and see what that feels like to start the season out 2-0. It's going to be a pretty damn good feeling.
Yeah, I'd say all of this to say, at least on the surface, at least today, It feels like a bit of a mess down there in Jacksonville. And I think that's good news for the Broncos. So, despite the injury situation, I think the Broncos are set up great. And we'll go into deeper stuff with Jacksonville. I've already taken a little peek at the game. They got some issues there.
The IR situation that pops up here with Darby is your first example of the flexibility that you now have with the new IR rules. Previously, when you would have a guy that would have a 2 to 4 week injury, you wouldn't even think about putting him on the IR because you can't get him back. Or you would have to make a decision on one guy that you could get one guy back. This year, you're going to see more guys end up on the IR, even if it's in the short term, even if they have to be like an extra week, extra 5 days on the IR, just because of the flexibility that it gives to your team, because you could always bring them back. So don't know the severity of Darby's injury. I would imagine that it's not that big of a deal, is honestly my best guess. He'll be back quickly. But the bigger story is going to be how well does Patrick Surtain play, because once he goes in there and he gets his crack at the job that is going to be his eventually, if he plays good football, why in the world would they take it away from him?
We have a huge announcement with Pedal with Columbus. We'll give it to you in about 3 minutes. But I first want your reaction to what we watched last night. And if you weren't watching this last night, I mean, what were you watching?
Wide line, Cam, three jet church.
Here we go. Be a lure on the weave here, right? One mid trip stripe bunch, H settle, 51 scat, H weave rail, wide line, Cam, three jet church. Blue right, 20, blue 20, easy. Can.
What's a can mean?
He just canned it right there. Those are two plays I just caught. This helmet doesn't fit.
Shocking that a helmet doesn't fit you. They didn't have a double XL helmet to fit that forehead.
All right. He called two plays in the huddle, right? The first play, he didn't get the look that he wanted, so he canned it to the second play. Put the first play in the trash can. Now I'm going to three jet church. That's what Lamar is doing. He is surveying the defense, right? He's getting to the best plays. Although, I talked to Greg Roman. He says Lamar is at his best when he gives him a call-it-and-run-it play.
We'll talk about the nutty game, but what did you think of the broadcast?
Well, I thought it was a lot of fun, D-Mac. I'm going to be fascinated to see what the numbers come in at. I mean, that was ESPN on ESPN Crime. You just aired a simultaneous broadcast from your main broadcast. Like, you're taking away viewers.
I watched ESPN2 the entire night.
I flipped back and forth.
I went
back and forth.
Why?
Well, there was stuff that I liked. There was stuff that I didn't like. There were moments that I thought that it was great. You know, the more intense the game was, the more I wanted to be watching Peyton and Eli. That was really, like, when we got down to the wire, I wanted to see their reactions. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see the stuff they were talking about. When they had Russell Wilson on, it was tremendous. There were other parts that I was like, you know what? A little too much stuff is going on right now. A little bit too distracting. I honestly thought that they should have Peyton and Eli should be the fastball that's going on the entire game. And then you throw a curveball in every now and then with the third guy. They had the third guy way too much.
And
it took way too much away from, especially Eli. Eli was asking questions the entire time of the guest, whoever it was. And I'm like, I want to hear your input. Like, I just want to hear Peyton and Eli going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like you two just go back and forth. I don't need anybody else. It's cool to have a third dude show up here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But it should have just been those two just talking shop the entire game. I did like it, don't get me wrong, especially at the end, especially when Russell Wilson was on there. Really, really fascinating stuff that I cannot wait to see what the numbers come in at. Brian Griese can't be very happy about it, though. I know that much.
I don't know. I don't know what matters to them. I mean, I don't know if they care one way or the other, but
would you be happy if 104.3 The Fan put on a simulcast show at our exact time? Our exact same time?
I would not.
Right. Like, hey, on HD1, we've got Tyler and D-Mac. On HD2, you can, I don't know who they would have. Kevin and Richie?
I don't know. Well, Kevin and Richie would be intimidating. I was going to say, as long as they suck, I'd be fine with it.
Exactly. Yeah, but what if it's Peyton Manning?
I might be a little intimidated if it was Peyton Manning. He was pretty darn good.
Right.
All that being said, you know, this show and all the shows at the station, we're making an adjustment. We're going from 2 to 6 starting on Monday, and Zach and Stoke are 11 to 2. And, of course, we have Nate and Chad now, so making some changes. So I was going through Cherry Creek State Park. So, over the 12-plus years that, you know, I've been close to 12 years that I've been doing the show, we've kind of bounced back and forth to a variety of hours. So this is a change. We're going to start at 2 o'clock starting on Monday, and I don't know what happens with the legal ID. I don't know. I don't know who's going to handle that or how that's going to go. I don't know. But if there's a sense of competition with it, I'd like to think we'll win.
There you go. No doubt. No doubt about it.
Pedal with Palumbus. You're wearing your gear today.
I am, yes.
You look incredibly stylish in your bike jersey.
Got the gear on. I appreciate it. And we've got a big day today. Seriously, if you've been on the fence wondering if you wanted to contribute to Pedal with Palumbus to beat ovarian cancer, today's the day. Next 48 hours are the time. This is the time slot that I need you to jump in. Look, we had a goal last year of raising over $40,000 in year one. We did it. We raised over $40,000 in year one. This year, I told my team I want to double it. I want to double it, and I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but I want to double it. I want to get close to six figures. We have been doing so incredibly well, DMAC, but a couple big things are happening today. Okay.
Yeah.
We were sitting at, I hadn't been talking about the numbers, how much we had raised, but we were sitting at around $39,000 is what, the fans, you guys, the listeners have contributed to Pedal with Palumbus to beat ovarian cancer. Then I've got all my sponsors. I've got Safeway. I've got, Sean BMW, Superbook Sports, Gatorade, Primal Wear, Adventure Cycling. They've all contributed a lot of money. Well, today, Safeway has decided that they're going to open up a three-day window that is actually after Pedal with Palumbus. It's October 1st through 3rd, in which they're going to do a roundup at every single Safeway in the state of Colorado. You can round up whatever your purchase price is, and you could donate that, if you want, to Colorado Ovarian Cancer Alliance. Now, because it's coming after, I said, well, could we just come up with a ballpark of how much that might look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said, all right, well, here's what we will commit to. We are committing, and they had already given me $7,500, okay? In addition to that $7,500, they had said that they're going to commit, bare minimum, $25,000. That's what they expect to raise over those days at all the Safeway stores.
So no matter
anything more than that, we get it as well.
Okay.
But bare minimum, Safeway just jumped in with an additional $25,000.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
That's
incredible.
Awesome.
So where does that put us? Well, that puts us a little bit, we're hovering. I'm getting updated numbers like by the second, so I'm actually not exactly dialed in. But before the show began, we were sitting somewhere around $84,000 is what we had raised. Okay.
Fantastic.
Then I got some news from somebody that said that they're willing to donate $5,000, but they want it to be a match. So they want to do a $5,000 match. We got to raise it. And so I'm sitting here thinking, all right, well, we're getting dang close to my goal. I want to get $100,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, look, today, tomorrow, next 48 hours, I'm asking you guys to find $5, $10, whatever it is. We got the $5,000 that an anonymous donor gave. I'm going to do another $5,000 on top of that. We've got a $10,000 match right now for the next 48 hours that if we get this, we will be well over $100,000 because I'm getting donations that are rolling in by the minute. I don't even know what the total's at right now, but for the next 48 hours between myself and somebody else, we've got a $10,000 match that's going on. So I would be just blown away if you guys could help us hit it. Can we hit it? Can we get over $100,000 in donations to Pedal with Palumbus to beat ovarian cancer? If you don't know, this is all in honor of my mother, Nancy, who passed away from stage 4 ovarian cancer after a 6-year battle.
Mm.
And she passed away a little bit over a year ago. I had to watch her go through all the trials and tribulations of that cancer, and it sucks, man. It sucks. And this particular cancer, what makes it so dangerous is that women don't find out until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be that way because the signs and symptoms are so normal, like cramping and bloating of the stomach. And when you find out in stage 4, it's really, really difficult to handle. But if you find out early, you can definitely get your hand on this thing and you can definitely control it. So what we're doing is we're raising money for Colorado Ovarian Cancer Alliance. They're the ones that are taking all the money. I'm never touching it. It's going straight to them. No worries about who's getting it. They are.
Mm.
They are going to raise awareness. They're going to save lives. You are going to save lives. And I'm asking you to help me get over $100,000 in the next 48 hours. And you can do all that by going to denverfan.com/pedal. And believe me, $5 will go a long ways.
Wow. How much was it last year again?
Last year we were over 40,000. So my goal was to double it. We've already doubled it, but now I'm like, no, I want six figures. So we doubled it. That's already done.
Amazing.
I truly believe in the next 48 hours we can get over $100,000 that is donated to this. And there are various levels, by the way. If you go to denverfan.com/pedal, if you donate $100, you can get a T-shirt. There's different levels of stuff you can get, but you know, $5 goes a long ways. Matter of fact, if you donate $5, you're getting $5 from the other donor and you're getting $5 from me as well. So that's $15. That's a pretty incredible deal.
Well, right on, Tyler, man. And I know how much work has gone on behind the scenes, and it's getting close here. It's 10 days away.
Yeah, we're 10 days away.
Or 11 days? How's my
back? I'm not going to lie to you. I am definitely stressed about the actual ride myself because I've had some severe back injury going on that is preventing me from being on the bike for about 3 weeks.
You haven't shared that story.
No, I haven't. I mean, it doesn't matter because it's a little bit distracting. But you know what? It's just another trial that I'm going to have to overcome. You know, I haven't been able to be on the bike for about 3 weeks because I need a multi-level back fusion, and I've got a ton of herniated discs, all kinds of just trauma.
So
in
kind
my back.
Of unexpectedly, the 50 miles has become a lot more challenging than you once thought.
Last year I did 100 miles, but I was training my butt off for it. This year I did 50, and I was kind of thinking, well, it's not going to be that big of a deal.
It's a joyride.
Yeah, joyride. Well, for about 3 weeks, the furthest I've been able to go is about 10 miles. Oh. And so I'm definitely not in the shape that I want to be, but I like it. You know what? It's another cool challenge that is just going to be part of the story that, you know, I'm going to have to figure out, hey, when it's game day, I got to show up, you know?
I have no doubt. Of course, there's zero doubt that you will, but it's a challenge to overcome. But then again, the motivation with your mom, of course, is it's touching. It gets, you know, gets emotional just thinking about it. Yeah. Boy, and the response, I can't wait to see what happens.
Hey,
today.
If you guys donate today, would you do me a favor? Would you send it in on the text line 303-713-1043? Tell me your name. I would just love to know who's out there, who's listening, who's contributing. I am going to know eventually because I've got the list, I've got the back end, but I'd love to know in real time if you're out there listening and you're donating. Please put your name on it, let me know.
I will donate if Tyler says I love the CSU Rams.
I love the people that come from Colorado State University.
Close enough.
I love all the people that come from Colorado State University.
You love Joel Dreesen.
I love Joel Dreesen.
Hall of Famer.
Great CSU
Hall of Famer.
Ram.
Hall of Famer Joel Dreesen.
Great CSU Ram. His name's in the ring.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Love that Ram. Love Joel Dreesen.
You love Johnny Hart.
Love Johnny Hart.
Johnny Love.
Like I said,
here.
I love all the people. I love all the people that come out of there.
Rachel. Just, she's
you know
Rachel
what?
Right there. Rachel.
You know what?
Rachel
I love
B.
the Colorado State Rams. There you go.
Wow.
There you
wow.
go. There you go. What do you know? It wasn't even that hard. Yeah.
Is it good to be a CSU Ram?
I said it sucks to be.
Okay.
Not today.
Not today. All right. Well, very cool. DenverFan.com. The texts are very encouraging and heartwarming. Thank you for that. Coming up next as we roll on the water cooler, Chad and Nate don't think kickers are football players. Why? You'll hear it. And the crazy story of Urban Meyer, who is taking some heat from our local journalist. Details in the water cooler next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
Well, we find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
For the brand. We had a couple of interesting kicker moments. We had the dude from the Browns who didn't play the whole game. He just couldn't handle a punt, and he screwed the whole game up for him. We had the Buffalo Bills kicker get blocked by the Steelers. That didn't work out well. And then we had the disaster last night where the kicker for the Raiders drilled a 55-yarder, kind of clutch, And then John Gruden, Chucky decided to go for the kick on second down, and he wasn't ready.
I know. I love it. I love it. I love the drama. I mean, that game was just insane. Talk about two great primetime games that we've had. But the ending of that, like goodness, how many different ways did the Raiders lose it, and yet they still win it? And then Chucky goes for it on second down, and the kicker's not ready.
Kicker's not ready. And they were out of timeouts. They get the delay penalty. They put the offense back out there. By the way, if you were watching the Peyton Eli show, Eli, to his credit, Eli made two amazing predictions. First, he said, you got to be careful not to hard count on the one-inch line. And sure enough, and I'm not sure if it was a hard count or not, but, I mean, there was something that happened. And unbelievable, the Raiders actually jumped.
Yeah.
And they got the ball pushed back. And then that led to an interception.
Right, right.
Okay, good call by Eli. Eli also called out a play where this should really be going to a tight end right here, and it went to a tight end. And then Eli was saying that the Ravens are in zero coverage over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it was really great analysis because the Raiders obviously were seeing the same exact thing. And although it was beyond screwed up in terms of, you know, the kicker's on and the kicker's off, because they recognized the zero coverage, you know, Derek Carr knew he could just throw it up there. And that's what he did to end the game. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's high risk, high reward. When you go down there at the end of the game and you go cover zero, I know there's some guys that do it, but there's a reason why most teams go into prevent situations, because they don't want to get beat, right? When you go cover zero and you bring the house, good quarterbacks will absolutely expose you. Derek Carr was doing a great job of buying time, drifting out of the pocket. But man, was that a wild ending or what?
It was awesome. I thought it was highly entertaining.
I needed was the stinking Ravens to win, and I win pick 'em this week. Did we get our money from Zach? Huh? Did we get our money? Zach, leave anything behind for us? No? Oh, he's still here. That's good. Why don't you just see if he's got anything for us? See if he's got a little bread for us, you know?
And he wasn't really even close this week, right? Well, Stokely really was terrible.
Tell him I'll give it to Pedal with Columbus. Huh?
Wait, do I get any of this money?
Yeah, you do. You do. We had a team bet.
Of course I'm donating it to Pedal with Columbus. Of course I am.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see your name on the list.
Oh, you'll see my name on. I told you. you'll see my name on the list. It's just Nate and Chad will be on from 9 to 11 starting Monday. The Zokley Show goes from 11 till 2. We'll be on from 2 to 6. Nick and Cecil, 6 to 9. Sean Drotar and Sandy Clough, 9 to bedtime at midnight. And Chad and Nate were saying this.
Kicking's an important part of the game of football. It's just not, kickers...
Say it with your chest, Nate. Say it.
I don't like when kickers try to be cool. Right? I like if you are cool, that's cool. But if you're trying to be cool and you're a kicker and be like, hey, I'm one of the guys too, man. What's up? What are we doing, guys? Hey, I'm a football player. No, you're not. The best kickers are the ones who just come on the field, drop a dime on them, then just disappear. You know what I mean? Just disappear. Make the kicks. That's what makes you awesome. Not bringing attention to yourself. I think the best kicker is a kicker you don't even know is there.
Who's he talking about, by the way?
I don't know. What's Richie, that in reference to? Like, what's that about?
Yeah, who's he discussing in general right there?
I never got full context, but I have reached out for further comment.
Well, he does have beef with Brandon McManus, so it wouldn't be that big of a reach to assume
Whoa.
He's talking about Brandon
that's
McManus.
Right. You want to recap that real quick?
I actually don't even really recall what it's about. I just recall there being beef. Do you remember what it is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's because he thought Brandon was too outspoken on social media about stuff. And there were things going on with, football stuff.
Did we have an issue with Brandon this weekend or something? Something that I didn't catch?
Only if making field goals from everywhere and being great on kickoffs is an issue.
Right,
so aside from that.
All right.
But I do remember Nate was kind of like with McManus, you know, it's better to be seen, not heard if you're a kicker. Because you're a kicker.
Got it.
So are kickers football players?
Not all of them, no. I mean, are any of them football players? No, they're not football players. Are they a part of the team? Not all of them, some of them. Some of them. I mean, if I'm being dead serious, like, I'll play the game. I know what he's talking about. Not every kicker feels like he's a part of the group. Clearly, the position they play is different. They don't play the same game that we play.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for them to get acclimated amongst the team. That's what makes Brandon McManus so unique,
though. He is so unique.
Is that absolutely he's one of the dudes.
That's crazy. I mean,
he's best friends with Vaughn. No, put it this way. He's not best friends with Vaughn. Vaughn's best friend is Brandon McManus.
I was going to say this. He's not one of the dudes. He's like a dude that other guys are friends, like dudes with.
Right.
Like he is like that.
Right.
It's, you know, who can be dudes with Brandon McManus?
I mean, he truly is a leader on the team. Whether you like his leadership or you don't, he absolutely is a leader.
No doubt about it.
He's not afraid to share his opinion. He did go toe-to-toe with Vic Fangio, right? I mean,
sure did.
Clearly, I understand what...
And Kevin,
I forgot about the Kistner beef.
They did have a Twitter beef.
Wow.
Our own Kevin Kistner.
You want to recap that one? Huh?
Well, it was Kevin was trying to keep track of field goals made and missed in training camp.
Showed how many field goals he missed, and he missed a bunch.
And he did respond to you on social media. You got a reaction from him.
I mean, you were counting his individual period, but okay.
He hasn't missed nothing this season, right?
Kevin, well said. He hasn't missed nothing this season.
Nope. He hasn't missed nothing this season.
He hasn't missed nothing.
Nope.
Not a nothing. Not a thing.
Nothing.
All right. I think it sort of depends.
I don't know that we understood the full context of that rant. I don't know what that rant was about.
The funniest kicker to me ever, though, in Broncos history was Todd Sauerbrunn, who was, you know, beating up cab drivers and getting tribal tattoos and wearing the Schmedium shirts. And I know Prater used to wear the Schmediums and work on his...
Also had a tribal tattoo.
He did. Sauerbrunn to me just rubbed me. I like Matt. No, Sauerbrunn to me was just an idiot.
Oh, Matt was hilarious, man. Matt was obsessed with his neck, and he'd go in and he'd work out, and all he would do is neck drills. So and he'd be on the neck machine for like 2 hours. He'd walk around the entire locker room, and he'd be like, hey, Palumbus, you got a pencil neck, bro.
There you go.
Go work on your neck.
There you go. He's like 5'6". He's talking to you.
Yes.
He seriously is like 5'6". He is actually shorter than me.
Don't call me Matt. Call me Hawk. You'll call me Hawk, all right? I'm Hawk. All right.
Yeah, I know the Hawk goes to his Florida days, I think Jacksonville where he grew up. I know that was something. But it is true, back when there weren't the big hill there, when there wasn't the big hill there at Dove Valley, when it was all trees, there used to be rabbits. And because there used to be rabbits, there used to be hawks.
Yeah.
And you would see birds flying around. And Prater would catch himself staring at hawks like, you know, during
he was obsessed.
Football practice.
Yeah, no, obsessed. Like Brian Dawkins had like Wolverine figurines all over his locker. Prater had hawks, like literal hawks.
Let's move on to Mike Lombardi talking about Urban Meyer going to USC.
Yeah, I mean, the Urban Meyer, he needs to read my book about the middle eight. He violated that. But let's talk about that tweet. So I'm just minding my own business yesterday watching tape, and I get a text from somebody in the league, and they said, Urban to USC. And I said, no way. And the guy says, you want to bet on it? And when he said that, I'm thinking, wait a second here. He knows way more than I do. He's asking me the answers to the test that he already knows. So I said, well, tell me why. And he said, look, everybody in Columbus, and this gentleman's from Columbus, knows that maybe pro football may not be sitting well with Urban. Now, they're going to deny all this. We all know that, right? They're going to say, oh, no, Urban's loving it, all that. But when he was working for Fox, everybody in Los Angeles and Columbus thought he was going to take the USC job. But Clay Helton is the ultimate survivor.
Okay. Does Urban Meyer, maybe I shouldn't even say will he. How quickly will he go to USC?
Wow. You can't do it that quickly, dude. You can't do it that quickly, can you?
By the way,
are you kidding me?
Our guy Mike Kliss, Ryan O'Halloran, local press, because Urban Meyer is not doing press for the media in Denver this week, which is highly unusual. He is currently being roasted by our local media here for not doing that, and roasted through the Jags PR. But he's getting toasted right now for not doing what every single other NFL coach does every single week.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, if he's actually considering taking the USC job, that would be one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen. I mean,
can he take the USC job during the NFL season?
I mean, why would he not be able to?
I don't know. We got Midnight Mel Tucker.
You've got buyouts and stuff that they got to figure out. But I mean, if USC were able to figure out the buyouts, why would he not be able
to? God, has that ever happened, by the way? Has an NFL coach ever left in the middle of a season for another job?
To go to college also?
Did Saban leave during the season? No, I don't think he left during the... But I don't know why he couldn't necessarily, if he was willing to...
He hasn't even started the job. You know, like, you got to have a little bit of pride. Like, you're not going to see it through at least for the first year.
How long is USC... Well, I guess they could go with an interim coach for the year. They could wait a year, I suppose, at USC.
I know, but I mean, if you're Urban Meyer, like, you can't just bail on the Jags quick.
Why did USC fire their coach after 1 week or 2 weeks, whatever it's been for USC?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know what's going on with USC. Do you?
No.
Yeah.
That would be the craziest thing of all time if Urban Meyer just decided to say, you know what, with this NFL.
No way. I mean, I know he's had a rough start, and I'm sure he's missing the old college town where nobody's calling him out anymore, and he is getting called out, like, every single day, and he has messed up a lot already.
Yeah.
But, goodness, we're talking about having no pride at all, bailing after 1 week into the season.
How about not coming out and just denying it at this point? And you're not going to do local press here? What, you're going to hide in a shell? Hey, listen, this is just all added up for great things for the Broncos this week, which is what we care about. We really don't care about Urban Meyer and USC. But it all spells some good answers for the Broncos. By the way, Von Miller had some interesting comments to Teddy Bridgewater. I want him to go over with what he had to say to Teddy Bridgewater during the game with you next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and DMAC on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
All right, today was your day with the paying up on the coffees for your 3-and-out thing.
Right. Paid up.
Collectively, we
settled.
Schooled the Zoakley Show in Pick'em.
Right. So and Brandon did pay up quickly. Although Zach, I don't know where he is or what he's doing. Venmo, huh? Yeah. I'll check it. We'll see.
Okay.
Is it coming out of his account or his wife's?
Yeah, I think he has to Venmo his wife first, and then, I don't know how that works.
No, gets confusing.
Who knows?
Does the wife know about the Venmo?
You know, I think she knows certain things. Mm-hmm. I'm totally joking. I don't know. I'm sure she knows everything. Update, Pedal with Palumbus? I know we have a big day today.
Well, the big update, the big announcement is that Safeway donated $25,000 at a minimum because on October 1st through 3rd, they're going to open up every single store in the state of Colorado. They're going to offer a roundup when you purchase your items. So you can round up if you want to. All the money's going to Colorado Ovarian Cancer Alliance. I asked them if they could come up with the general ballpark of what that number might look like since it's actually after my event. And they said $25,000 is the minimum. So Safeway donated $25,000 on top of $7,500 that they had previously donated. So just insanely generous from Safeway. But then we got really, really close before the show began. We were sitting somewhere around $83,000. I got a very generous donor who popped in and said, hey, I've got $5,000, but I want you to get it matched. He's an anonymous donor, didn't want to be mentioned. And I was like, you know what? We're really close. I want to get over $100,000. I'll throw another $5,000 in there to get matched. So that's a $10,000 match over the next 48 hours that's going on. And I got to tell you what, man, the text line is just going nuts. I mean, I can't even keep up with all the names.
Well, let me read this one, these couple, which are really good.
Please.
Sean Morris, me and my wife, Melanie, donated to your cause. You have my utmost respect for how tirelessly you have worked on this cause. Your mother would be proud.
Well, thank you.
All the best on your ride. God bless you. From Antoinette, Tyler, I donated in honor of my mom, who is 18 years breast cancer free. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Early detection was the key to winning her battle. I believe in awareness and advocating for more cancer research. Please accept my small but mighty donation. Small but mighty donation. Peace be with you during this time of remembrance.
Well, thank you.
And it just goes on and on.
Honestly, the notes are, they're making me choke up. They are, It's amazing. I appreciate you guys. So many people are donating $5, $10, whatever they have. I mean, people are saying, Tyler, I've got $100 in the bank account. I just gave you $10. Like, are you kidding me? Like seriously, thank you. I do feel emotional about that. Just know that that money is going to go a long ways, and $10 is going to make a huge difference, a huge difference. So thank you so much to you guys.
Okay. You know, I understand things at DenverBroncos.com are ultimately to reflect well, and it's a bit of a propaganda sort of outlet. Okay. But they do have access to things and audio that nobody else does. So I think you can frame them in the proper context of what does this actually mean? I think this was a moment when Vaughn was talking to Teddy during the game.
I ain't felt that in a while since AK was here, man. Those little pep talks go a long way, huh? You know what I'm saying? We need a minute. I love you, bro. Love you too.
So he was talking about a pep talk that Teddy gave to the team. Vaughn saying that goes a long way. I haven't felt this since 18, since Peyton Manning was here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of another sort of, you know, unintentional, tough moment for Drew Locke. But it does give you, I think, an honest reflection of what the team thinks about Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah, you could feel it. You could hear it in the locker room, man. When Teddy got the game ball and all the guys are sitting there yelling speech, 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 you know, they're not messing around. Like, they love that dude. Like, it meant a lot to the entire team that Teddy not only got the start, but he got the game ball. Clearly, the team respects him. Clearly, they love him. But I would give a little bit of reservation on it. Like, hey, just because Vaughn said he hasn't felt this since 18 certainly doesn't imply that he thinks that he's going to be 18. It certainly doesn't imply that everything's going to be amazing. You know, there's a point in time that everybody, and I do mean everybody, felt fantastic about Trevor Siemian. Aqib Talib was coming off the field, had his arm around his neck. He's like, that's my dude. That's my dude. You know, on national TV, these guys have been there.
You know what Vaughn used to call Trevor Siemian? Peter Parker.
Right.
And I always was like, don't really want to be Peter Parker. You want to be Spider-Man. You don't want to really be Peter Parker.
All I know is the dudes loved him. I know you're saying that like they didn't love him, but they did.
Well,
they loved him.
No,
D-Mac, they loved him.
Okay, fine. They loved him. But I think they loved him like they loved Peter Parker, not like, you know, well, you're Spider-Man or you're
We got Zach coming in. What's up, buddy?
There it is.
What are we doing? I mean, Tyler Pullen, you want me to hit my own name? You want me to pay myself? I mean, how much do you want me to pay?
What are we doing here?
Like, it's an empty check. I mean, he handed me his Venmo.
Zach, hold on. Huh? Zach, come here. Come in the studio. We're on the air. Go ahead.
No. Hey, forget it. Forget it. Today's all about pedal with Plumbus to beat ovarian cancer. Donate it. I don't even want your money. Donate it.
You want me to donate it?
I want you to donate it. Absolutely.
I do too.
Because I owe you and I owe you separately.
Yeah, no, I want you to donate. Donate all of it.
Oh, man. My man Stoke couldn't take up it. Stoke hit six of 15 games. Worst on the station. He's the reigning champ. He got six games right.
Dude, I was sitting there with the one game lead. All I needed to happen was the Ravens to just beat the stinking Raiders, and I'm going to walk away as the week one champ. Like, are you kidding me? You can't beat the stinking Raiders right now?
The last thing we talked about yesterday is, like, I'm thinking about changing my pick to the Raiders. Like, they can get, the Ravens can get got. I was sticking with the Ravens. And
by the way, we shouldn't figure this out. So you guys are going to 11-2. We're going 2-6. What happens at 2 o'clock?
So this is a big mystery because Richie apparently said that, like, we're not going to commercial break.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, there's going to be either some crosstalk or some awkward transition.
But either way, the legal ID's got to be said.
It's got to be said.
Right.
And
right.
So either, like, a two-year war is going to come to an end for some sort of resolution.
Or could it be a new four-way war?
It honestly could be. I cannot believe we made an FCC rule an open competition on our show. It's like just two guys being competitive. I don't know.
But so, okay, well, we'll figure it out next Monday.
We'll figure it out.
One way or the other.
We'll figure it out. You know what? It's going to be fun.
I would say this. Let's not arrange anything. Okay. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, the last time we had an open competition, it worked out great between the two shows.
I mean, don't say the shows. I mean, specifically you two. Let's keep it real. By the way, Zach came on to me last week on Friday.
He came on to you?
He came up to me.
Up to you.
Yes, oh, that's right. Right. I mean, he's come on to me too. I mean, I'm not gonna lie.
Good-looking dude.
It did come on to me the other day. He's like, hey man, I got this brilliant.
Oh my
play.
Gosh, it's really? Like, you're like gonna this, do this right
the
now?
Play of a lifetime. It's like, okay, so we're gonna put like 6 points. We're gonna buy 6 points off of Buffalo. We got the Denver Broncos. We got Kansas City. This is an absolute. This is the walk of the
did
century.
They all tank?
Go put whatever you want on it. Blah blah blah.
Did
we're gonna
tank?
Win it.
Tyler immediately pulls out his phone. He's like, let's lock this.
I'm like, all right, dude. I mean, you sound confident. Like, if you're in, like, I'll ride with you.
Not
I'll
all of them,
ride
but
with you.
It was like 1-1-1. It was pretty bad.
Goodness right. gracious.
Sorry about that.
Walk of the century.
Sorry about that.
Kidding me?
Is that a smear?
Put that in that donation Wait. As well.
What was the smear on? I missed it.
Did you smear me for a bad bet?
Oh.
I guess. I didn't mean to, but, they gave it to me.
See you guys.
All right. We'll figure it out Monday. We'll figure it out one day. I'm not even worried about it. Okay, there you go.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be 10 minutes of just yelling at each other every single day. You know that's what it's going
to
be.
Sounds good to me. I can never get enough of that. Football at 4. There are some big roster shakeups with the Broncos. Unexpected. Details next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.